Welcome to Zikru Daf Siman, member by Avram Goldar, and today Masechus Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Samach Beis, the 10th parak, Get Pashut. So the three tabs are going to focus on. Number one, Rabbi Yochanan says, Sarak Shiyakzer Min Yano Shel Shtar B'Shita Achrona. One is required to repeat the basic elements of the shtar in the last line and not write any new information. Rav Amram explains, Levi She'en Lo Medim B'Shita Achrona, because we do not learn anything from the last line. The Rashbam explains that Edim typically leave some space between the text and their signatures, which would enable someone to add a fraudulent line to the text. Therefore, any new information contained in the last line of a shtar is disregarded. Rav Amram told Rav Nachman that his source for this was a brisa. If the signatures of the Edim were distanced 2 lines from the text, the shtar is pasul. Shita achas kasher. If the distance was only a single line, it's kasher. The reason the shtar is pasul when 2 lines of space are left is Dilma Mazaif Vakasav. Perhaps the holder will forge and write a fake clause at the end of the text. If so, then a single line of space should invalidate the shtar for the same concern. Rather, it must be that we do not learn anything from the last line, so he would need 2 lines of space to add something. Point number two, the Gemara asks, Shito Mechsamai, if there's a line and a half of space between the text and the signatures, what is the halacha? Is the shtar valid because 2 normal lines cannot be written into such a space, or is it invalid because he can squeeze 2 lines of cramped text into the space? A proof is brought from a brice which states, Hirchikazain Mishne Shitin Minaksab Puzzle. If the signatures of the Edim were distanced 2 lines from the text, the shtar is puzzle. Pachas Mikan Kasher. But if the distance was less than that, it's Kasher. This proves that any space smaller than 2 full lines does not invalidate the shtar. So a shtar with 1.5 lines of space is valid. And point number three, the previous brisa continues that if a shtar had 4 or 5 signatures, v'nimsa echa mehem karuv apostle, and one of them was discovered to be a relative of one of the parties or a disqualified aid, tiskaim edus b'shtar, the testimony is upheld through the other valid witnesses. Although ordinarily, if one witness in a group is found ineligible, the entire group's testimony is disqualified. Here, we assume that these invalid aidim sign only to fill an empty space left in the shtar and not for the purpose of testifying. This brisa supports Chizki, who said, Malehu bekrovin kasher, if he filled the blank space of a shtar with relatives, the shtar is valid. Valtitame, and do not wonder how invalid signatures can be better than 2 lines of blank space, which is invalid. Shroi aver sukkah posa b'shloshi, because we find similarly that airspace disqualifies a sukkah at 3 tefachim of width, yet tzchach pasu posa b'arba, invalid tzchach disqualifies a sukkah only with 4 tefachim of width, demonstrating that empty space is worse than invalid tzchach. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rabbi Yochanan says, Tzarek Shiyakzer Minyano Shel Shtar B'Shita Achrona. One is required to repeat the basic elements of the shtar in the last line and not write any new information. Rav Amram explains, Levi She'en Lo Medim B'Shita Achrona, because we do not learn anything from the last line. The Rashbam explains that Edim typically leave some space between the text and their signatures, which would enable someone to add a fraudulent line to the text. Therefore, any new information contained in the last line of a shtar is disregarded. Rav Amram told Rav Nachman that his source for this was a brisa. Hirchikaseidim shnei shitim min aksav pasul. If the signatures of the Edim were distanced 2 lines from the text, the shtar is pasul. Shita achas kasher. If the distance was only a single line, it's kasher. The reason the shtar is pasul when 2 lines of space are left is Dilma Mazaif Vakasav. Perhaps the holder will forge and write a fake clause at the end of the text. If so, then a single line of space should invalidate the shtar for the same concern. Rather, it must be that we do not learn anything from the last line, so he would need 2 lines of space to add something. Point number two, the Gemara asks, Shito Mechsamai, if there's a line and a half of space between the text and the signatures, what is the halacha? Is the shtar valid because 2 normal lines cannot be written into such a space, or is it invalid because he can squeeze 2 lines of cramped text into the space? A proof is brought from a brice which states, Hirchikazain Mishne Shitin Minaksav Puzzle. If the signatures of the Edim were distanced 2 lines from the text, the shtar is puzzle. Pachas Mikan Kasher. But if the distance was less than that, it's Kasher. This proves that any space smaller than 2 full lines does not invalidate the shtar, so a shtar with 1.5 lines of space is valid. And point number three, the previous brisa continues that if a shtar had 4 or 5 signatures, v'nimsa echa mehem karuv apostle, and one of them was discovered to be a relative of one of the parties or a disqualified aid, tiskaim edus b'shtar, the testimony is upheld through the other valid witnesses. Although ordinarily, if one witness in a group is found ineligible, the entire group's testimony is disqualified. Here, we assume that these invalid aidim sign only to fill an empty space left in the shtar and not for the purpose of testifying. This brisa supports Chizki, who said, Malehu bekrovin kasher, if he filled the blank space of a shtar with relatives, the shtar is valid. Valtitame, and do not wonder how invalid signatures can be better than two lines of blank space, which is invalid. Shrei aver sukkah posel b'shloshi, because we find similarly that airspace disqualifies a sukkah at three tefachim of width. Yet, tzchach pasul posel b'arba, invalid tzchach disqualifies the sukkah only with four tefachim of width, demonstrating that empty space is worse than invalid tzchach. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Kuf Samach Beis, and here, by far the most popular suggestion from our members was kesef. Kesef for Kuf Samach Beis. So here goes. The silver coin sofer used two silver coins to measure if there were two lines of space in the shtar before the witness's signatures that needed to be filled, and determined that the shtar was valid since there was only a line and a half of space, was informed by a rav that a relative of one of the parties can be used to sign in the shtar to fill up the space, provided there were other qualified edim who had signed. Once again, it's a motion. The silver coin sofer. Silver coin sofer. That must be one daf. Kuf Samach Beis. Kesef. The silver coin sofer used two silver coins to measure if there are two lines of space in the shtar before the witness's signatures that needed to be filled, which reminds us, Rav Yochanan says, Sarach sheyachzer minyano shel shtar b'shita achrona. One is required to repeat the basic elements of the shtar in the last line and not write any new information. Rav Amram explains, Lefi she'enu lemedim b'shita achrona, because we do not learn anything from the last line. The Rashbam explains that Edim typically leave some space between the text and their signatures, which would enable someone to add a fraudulent line into the text. Therefore, any new information contained in the last line of a shtar is disregarded. So the silver coin sofer used two silver coins to measure if there are two lines of space in the shtar before the witness's signatures that needed to be filled, and determined that the shtar was valid since there was only a line and a half of space, which reminds us, Gemara learns that a shtar with a line and a half of empty space is kosher. So the silver coin sofer used two silver coins to measure if there are two lines of space in the shtar before the witness's signatures that needed to be filled, and determined that the shtar was valid since there was only a line and a half of space, was informed by a rav that a relative of one of the parties can be used to sign on the shtar to fill up the space, provided there were other qualified aiding who had signed, which reminds us. The previous brisa continues that if a shtar had four or five signatures, v'nimsa echa mehem karov upasul, and one of them was discovered to be a relative of one of the parties or a disqualified aid, tiskayim edus b'shar, the testimony is upheld through the other valid witnesses. Although ordinarily, if one witness in a group is found ineligible, the entire group's testimony is disqualified, here we assume that these invalid aidim sign only to fill an empty space left in the shtar and not for the purpose of testifying. So once again, the silver coin sofer who used two silver coins to measure if there are two lines of space in the shtar before the witness's signatures that needed to be filled, and determined that the shtar was valid since there was only a line and a half of space, was informed by a rav that a relative of one of the parties can be used to sign on the shtar to fill up the space, provided there were other qualified edim who had signed. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf kuf nun ches. So the siman daf kuf nun ches is kinuach, dessert, and we use a dessert reception. So here goes. When the earthquake occurred during the outdoor dessert reception, that must learn daf kuf nun ches, kinuach. When the earthquake occurred during the outdoor dessert reception, collapsing one house, killing a husband and wife, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Nafla bais alav al ishto, a house collapsed on someone and his wife, killing them. The Azim Zeres claim the wife died first and the husband inherited the properties, which they now inherit from him. The wife Zeres claim the husband died first without inheriting her, and she additionally became entitled to her ksuba, all of which they should inherit from her. The Gemara brings Malchukas Beisham Beisilil. So when the earthquake occurred during the outdoor dessert reception, collapsing one house, killing a husband and wife, and collapsing the house next door, killing someone and his unmarried mother, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Nafla bais alav al imo, a house collapsed on someone and his unmarried mother, killing them. The mother's heirs, meaning her brothers, claim the son died first and did not inherit her assets, so they inherit her. The son's heirs, meaning his paternal brothers from another mother, claim the mother died first and the son inherited her, so they inherit her assets. The Tanakhama says, Eloveil Modim Shiachaloku, both Beisham and Beisil agree that the groups divide her assets equally. So when the earthquake occurred during the outdoor dessert reception, collapsing one house, killing a husband and wife, and collapsing the house next door, killing someone and his unmarried mother, a rabbi appeared and told the guests, who were various heirs to the deceased and debating who died first, that he has clarity now regarding assigning assets, since Avir Deretz Yisrael, Machkim. Which reminds us, when Rabbi Zera went up to Eretz Yisrael, he changed his mind to rule like Rabbi Ila regarding where mother and her only son died, and the respective heirs dispute who inherits the mother's assets, and commented, Shema mina avir de Eretz Yisrael, machim. We learn from this that the heir of Eretz Yisrael makes one wise because his immigrant to Eretz Yisrael caused him to reconsider his position and arrive at the truth. Daf Kuf Nun Tes, so the similar Daf Kuf Nun Tes is a canteen. So here goes. The young man who took the canteen in camp, canteen? That must be on Daf. Kuf Nun Tes. The young man who took the canteen and camp away from a buyer because he was inheriting his grandfather, which reminds us, a ruling was sent from Eretz Yisrael, which is meant to be. If someone sold his father's property but died during the father's lifetime, but no mosim yahu kuchos, the son's son can take the property from the buyers after his grandfather dies, v'zoi shekasha bedini mamonos, and this is something difficult to understand among monetary matters. So the young man who took the canteen and camp away from a buyer because he was inheriting his grandfather told the camp rav that he could not accept edus from him about his brother's account because it's a gezeres melech, which reminds us. The Gemara suggests a case for the difficult to understand among dinim amanos is if one signed a shtar of edus for someone, v'nasa chasano, and then he became his son-in-law, he cannot authenticate his own signature since he's now disqualified from testifying about his relatives, but others can confirm his signature. The difficulty is, he's not believed about his signature, yet others are believed. The Gemara concludes that this is not difficult, Dilma Gezeres Melchi. Perhaps it's the decree of the king, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he cannot testify about his relative while others can, and not because the relative is suspected to lie. So the young man who took the canteen and camp away from a buyer, because he was inheriting his grandfather, told the camp rav that he could not accept edus from him about his brother's account because it's a gezeres melech, and was overruled when he sold all the nush and bar sisin, but claimed the sour candies were not really from sisin, they were just called sisin sizzling sour candies in name only. Which reminds us that there was a person who told someone, Nixay de bar sisin mizabninulach, I'm selling you the property of bar sisin, meaning the properties I bought from him. There was a property in his estate called the Bay Bar Sisin of the Bar Sisin estate, but the seller claimed it was not actually from Bar Sisin, but it was merely called that and not included in the sale. Rav Nachman established the land in the buyer's possession, requiring the seller to prove it was not truly Bar Sisin's property. Rav objected that the law should be Hamotzi Mechavero, all of a raya. Daf Kuf Samach. So the simmer Daf Kuf Samach is the Kos Shel Eliyahu. So here goes. The Kohen who kept samples of a Get Pashut and Get Makusher in his large kos, She'el Yahu, kos, She'el Yahu? That must be learned off Kuf Samach. The Kohen who kept samples of a Get Pashut and Get Makusher in his large kos, She'el Yahu, to remember how they differ, which reminds us, the 10th parak begins, Get Pashut Edim Masocho, in a straight star, it's Edim Rasan on the inside, at the end of the text, Makusher Edim Ma'acharav, in a bound star, it's Edim Rasan on the outside. The Mishnah continues, Get Pashut Edav Bishnaim, a straight star requires at least two Edim, Makusha Bishosha, and a bound star requires at least three Edim. The Rashbam adds that there cannot be any folds without a signature. If a Get Pashut was signed by only one Ed, or a Get Makusha was signed by only two Edim, it's invalid. So the Kohen who kept samples of a Get Pashut and Get Makushar in his large kos Shel Eliyahu, to remember how they differ, got easily upset and impulsively wanted to divorce his wife when she didn't know where he put the kos. Which reminds the Gemara teaches that the reason a Get Makushar was instituted is because there was a place of Kohanim who were easily upset, who would impulsively divorce their wives in a moment of anger and could not remarry them after calming down. The rabbis instituted a Get Makushar, which requires time to prepare, so in the meantime they would calm down. So the Kohen who kept samples of a Get Pashut and Get Makusha in his large kos Shel Eliyahu, to remember how they differ, got easily upset and impulsively wanted to divorce his wife when she didn't know where he put the kos, and had three friends come over to practice writing their signatures between one fold and the next fold on the outside. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Heichon Edim Chosmin, where do Edim sign on a Get Makusha? Rav Huna says, Ben Keshu L'Keshu, between one fold and the next fold. Rav Yirmi Yabra'aba says, Achri Aksav U'Keneged Aksav M'Bachutz, behind the text, opposite the text on the outside. The Gemara clarifies that Rav Huna also means the Edim sign on the back of the shtar, but holds they sign between the individual folds on the outside. Daf Kuf Samachov, so the simmer Daf Kuf Samachov is a Kisei, a chair. So here goes. The Edim signing on a Get Makusha lying flat on a massive chair. Chair? That must be learned off Kuf Samachov. Kisei. The Edim signing on a Get Makusha lying flat on a massive chair were instructed to sign from the bottom up, starting at the end of the text, which reminds us, Rav Chisa explained that according to Rav Yirmi Ba'aba, the Edim do not sign parallel to the text in front. Rather, the Edim sign from the bottom to the top, perpendicular to the text. Since their signatures begin opposite the end of the text, it cannot be added to. So the Adem signing on to get Makusha lying flat on a massive chair. We're instructed to sign from the bottom up, starting at the end of the text. And not to worry about anyone cutting off the bottom because no one in town named Yaakov signs like that, which reminds us. The Gemara asks that perhaps there'll be a clause in the last line which is harmful to the holder of the shtar, and he'll cut it off. Although he will likely cut off the Reuben, the first name of the aid signed behind that line, it will still be valid with the remaining signature, which states Ben Yaakov aid, because such a signature is valid. The Gemara answers that Reuben and Ben are written opposite one line of text, and both will be removed if he cuts off a line, leaving him with only Yaakov aid. The Gemara asks that perhaps it will still be validated based on the assumption that Yaakov signed the shtar. It answers that aid is not written, and Yaakov alone is not a valid signature, or it's recognized that this is not the signature of anyone named Yaakov. So, the Adem signing on to get Makusha lying flat on a massive chair were instructed to sign from the bottom up, starting at the end of the text, and not to worry about anyone cutting off the bottom because no one in town named Yaakov signs like that, and no one would use her father's name because if he wouldn't sit in his chair, he certainly wouldn't use his name. Which reminds us, there's no concern that a son signs using his father's name, even as a symbol instead of a signature, for that would be chutzpahdik. Alright, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff did we learn that relatives cannot testify because of a Gezeres Melech? That's on Daf Kufnun Tes. Good. Number 2. Which stuff did we learn a shtar with extra 80 who are ineligible is still valid since they were used only to fill up the empty space? That's on Daf Kuf Samach Beis. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do we discuss if property purchased after a loan can become Meshubah to the loan? That's on Daf Kufnun Zayin. Good. Number 4. Which stuff they learn a shtar with a line and a half of empty space is valid? That's on Daf Kuf Samach Beis. Good. Number 5. Which stuff they learn according to Rav Yirmiyahu Bar Abba, aiding sign from the bottom of the shtar running upwards? That's on Daf Kuf Samach Aleph. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do we have a machlokes about a matna shchimera on a weekday versus Shabbos? That's on Daf Kufnun Vav. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do we learn if the signatures of the Adem were distanced 2 lines from the text, the shtar is possible? That's on Daf Kuf Samach Beis. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do the incident of one who sold Nixay Devar Sisin? That's on Daf Kufnun Tes. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do we have the concern that one will cut off a harmful clause on the last line, leaving part of the signature? That's on Daf Kuf Samach Aleph. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do we discuss the differences between a Get Pashut and a Get Mekushar? That's on Daf Kuf Samach. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.